the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay, okay. Checking in at
number five.
President Trump told CBS News that Joe Biden is his dream opponent in the 2020 election. In his interview with Jeff Glor, the principal anchor of CBS News, he asked the president who he thinks his opponent will be on the Democratic side, noting Biden, the former vice president, has said he will decide whether he's going to be running come January.
Who do you think your Democratic opponent will be? Joe Biden says he'll make a decision by January.
Well, I dream about Biden. That's a dream. Look, Joe Biden ran three times. He never got more than 1%. And President Obama took him out of the garbage heap, and everybody was shocked that he did. I'd love to have it be Biden. I think I'd like to have any one of those people that we're talking about. You know, there's probably the group of seven or eight right now. I'd like to run against any one of them. But Biden never by himself could never do anything.
You know what? He's right. He will beat any of the candidates who are being mentioned right now.
Yeah, it's
I would
difficult.
Not bet against him. I'm not saying I want that to happen, but yeah. He would win. He would beat Joe Biden.
It is difficult because the Democrats are also, the Republicans are certainly a mess right now trying to decide who's pro-Trump, who's on board entirely, who's not. But then you look at the Democrats and it seems like there's this pull to the very progressive far left side. And you wonder how that plays across the country. And
I'll take on Clever Lang, Ivan Drago. Apollo Creed, any of them. Tommy Gunn.
Didn't Biden challenge him to a fight in the schoolyard?
Yes, he
beat him up or something.
Take him back behind the woodshed.
Could get ugly. Could be interesting. We have one more clip here. Let's listen in here to this. Oh, sorry, I have a setup first. Then in an interview with CNBC, he said that he will be Russian President Vladimir Putin's worst enemy if the relationship and their deal making doesn't work out, unlike President Barack Obama, who he called Putin's patsy.
Look at the sanctions I've put on. Look at the diplomats I threw out. Look at all of the things that I've done. Nobody else did what I've done. Obama didn't do it. Obama was a patsy for Russia. He was a total patsy. Look at the statement he made where he thought the mics were turned off, okay? The stupid statement he made. Nobody does a big deal about that. Getting along with President Putin, getting along with Russia is a positive, not a negative.
Right.
Now, with that being said, if that doesn't work out, I'll be the worst enemy he's ever had. The worst he's ever had.
Okay.
It's announced today that there's going to be Trump-Putin Summit 2 in D.C. Could be a continuation of their talks, or it could be a redo, given the reception, of course, of the first summit back here at home. He's inviting Putin back to Washington to talk to him again.
Putin 2, Electric Boogaloo. That should be fantastic.
I don't know if it's a closed door meeting or what, but we'll have details on that.
That interpreter. I think I'm going to call in that week. I'm not going. She'll call in both languages. I'm not coming.
It's going to be a very rough day whenever that happens,
man.
But we will let you know about it because that's our job. Checking in at
number four.
Fox News host, former judge Jeanine Pirro in the news, appearing on The View, promoting her new book, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. And alliterative, I like that. Two-segment interview covered a variety of topics that were all Donald Trump. At one point, after returning from the break, and in response to a question from co-host Sarah Haynes on why she wrote the book, Pirro answered that it was because of her experience with the criminal justice system.
Well, I wrote the book because I'm not an ideologue. I mean, I have been in the crime business for over three decades, and I think I said that before. And I know a con when I see it. And I think that what has happened in the last...
I don't think she expected that. It was not supposed to be a laugh line.
No,
but people were like, really?
It wasn't because of her cozy relationship with the president. I think some people saw some irony in that statement.
Good studio audience. I like that.
It really was. It's, you know, then here, listen to this. Then at one point that seemed to tank the entire segment once and for all, Pirro accused Whoopi Goldberg of having Trump derangement syndrome.
Did you just point at me?
Yes.
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of... I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation
62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. Clearly, you don't watch the show, so you don't know that I don't suffer from that. What I suffer from is the inability to figure out how to fix this.
Ooh.
Wow. Good for Whoopi. And I hear you're after the taping or after the show, they said, have you had lunch? Because it just got handed to you.
Page six has a full rundown of the, it didn't end there. We have a bonus cut, and then I'll tell you what page six is reporting.
One of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because you gave your opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
I'm sorry, you know that's what you said. You said,
Whoopi, you know what's horrible when people who shouldn't be here end up murdering the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's horrible when
the President of the United States whips up people to beat the hell out of people.
No.
Say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Take that. Well, apparently afterwards, Page Six is reporting they got into an argument backstage at The View. It poured over, and then they got even more heated with some bad words said in each direction. So I think they both need to chill out just a little bit. We're going to take a break here, but we'll have your three, your two, and your one coming up. But we're going to check in with Ryan Burrow, see what's coming up bottom of the hour on the WGN News.
And we continue to follow reports of damage due to tornadoes in central Iowa. More on that coming up at, let's go 5:30 from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Time for traffic trouble spots. Here is Violetta Padromatic.
This week, the Chicago's best team is bringing you some of your favorite summer foods. We're talking about burgers, ice cream, and much, much more. That's on Chicago's Best this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, we're in the middle of the top five at five here on The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, Richard Roper in with us today. And we are at
number three.
That's where we are. After an even par 71 at the first round of the British Open left him tied for 32nd, Tiger Woods spoke to reporters, and he said he felt like he played better than his score, and he could have been even higher on the leaderboard.
I played better than what the score indicates because I had 2 8-irons into both par fives today, and I ended up with par on both of those. You know, if I just clean up those two holes and play them the way I'm supposed to play them, and with 8-iron in my hand, I think I probably have the best round and afternoon wave. Certainly could have been a little bit better.
Tiger, he's back. It was too sunny for me. When I watched the British Open or the Open Championship, I want rain, I want gray skies, I want windy, I want that's these guys true. Throwing like jackets on. But it's
that
good.
London foggy kind of weather.
You do, exactly. That's true. You feel like you want to see some of the characters from Game of Thrones in the background on their horses.
Better
right?
Sherlock
right.
Holmes with the big
Sherlock,
pipe and the tweed going on or something in the Wellingtons or something.
Well, they're playing at historic Carnoustie, which is like the birthplace of golf essentially in Scotland. So I believe
invented golf. You're wrong, Kevin. They didn't even use clubs. They just
so
throw the ball.
Fake news.
There is rain in the forecast there, thankfully, because I like to see those sorts of.
Make sure that's great.
It's like, what's all this sun? They need sunscreen. That shouldn't be warranted at the British Open. So a good start for Tiger, though, I think.
Good. Okay. Glad to hear that. I want to see him back. He's a fun golfer to watch. Let's checking in at, where are we? Right there.
Number two.
Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight turns 10 years old today. Here's a clip of the late Heath Ledger's Oscar-winning performance as the Joker facing off with Christian Bale's Batman.
Where's Dent? Those mob fools want you gone so they can get back to the way things were. But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Then why do you want to kill me?
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No, no. No. No, you complete me.
It's amazing.
It's haunting.
Yeah,
performance.
I mean, they just announced that there's going to be a Joker Origins movie next year. Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker.
I like
and
that cast.
He's a great actor, too. And Jared Leto has tried it, and Mark Hamill's voiced him. But I'll tell you, Heath Ledger, that's the Joker right there. And that was a great film by Christopher Nolan. One of the best. That was one of the first that really took the superhero. They had Iron Man and Spider-Man and all that. They're a lot of fun, but that was a heavy solid drama, you know, that just happened to have superheroes, superhero in it. You know, and it's a great film. And a lot of it, basically here in Chicago. Remember when they were doing all the cool stuff on Lower Wacker Drive? If you haven't had a chance to see that, well, go back and watch that first Dark Knight 10 years ago, Anna.
Think about it. He was 28 when he died. And he just thought about what he had achieved in that short time and how excited you were
sad,
about it.
Sad story.
It is. It really is.
But I'll tell you a quick Christopher Nolan story. Okay. So he comes to Chicago for a giant premiere at Navy Pier in the IMAX. They brought some of the Batmobiles and all that stuff. Christopher Nolan, he actually lived some time here. And growing up, he went back and forth between England and Evanston because... You know, he and his brother. There you go, Kev. And I had a date with me at the time, and Christopher Nolan, the director of The Dark Knight, comes over, and you know, he's kind of mostly British, and he's kind of, you know, very dignified. Always is always wearing, you know, the ascot and everything. And he for about 5 minutes told her how much he loved my criticism and my writing, and I was the greatest and everything. And he called me the next day, and he said, "I'll clean up." He said, "Did you have a lucky evening? Because if you didn't get a lucky evening after the Dark Knight, director talked you up, pal. I can't close any deals for you."
He called to say you're welcome, Richard.
Basically.
He's like, "What are you going to do for me, Rich?"
Yeah, I had to break it to him.
I had to explain to him that she didn't know.
She didn't speak a lot of English.
Oh. Well, not everyone would know him. I mean, I love him.
But it was he did it in a nice way. He's a brilliant filmmaker and a real student of film, too. So, great guy to talk to.
Dark
Knight.
I love everything.
Christian Bale is the Dark Knight.
Boy, oh boy. Okay, checking it at
number one.
Good morning, Vietnam. It's just a smidgen past 6:05, and here we go with another day's version of the Don Buster Show from Armed Forces Radio. I'm Airman Adrian Kronauer, and for the next 4 hours, we've got the best...
You know that voice, Adrian Joseph Kronauer, the Air Force DJ who inspired the iconic film Good Morning Vietnam. He has died. The former U.S. Air Force sergeant served as a DJ and host of Don Buster, the radio show from 1965-1966 in Saigon, where he used the signature line, you just heard it, Good Morning Vietnam. It wasn't until 1979, when he moved to New York, that he co-wrote the original story for the famous movie, which earned Williams an Oscar nomination and a Golden Globe Award.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, Da Nang me. Why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky smooth sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee.
I wonder if any of that was scripted, because Robin Williams is so brilliant off the cuff.
He is, it's interesting, Anna, though, because when you played the original clip, because people are like, oh, he probably went over the top, but Adrian Kronauer's actual delivery was like that. And he had actually, Adrian Kronauer was a sergeant in the Air Force and served and really was that kind of a DJ. And he originally conceived it as a TV show. He thought it could be like a cool show like MASH, but then eventually it became a film, and Robin was nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
Adrian was a great storyteller in his own right, though, and I've had a chance to meet him many, many years ago, and just a really cool guy, and he loved what they did with that movie and how they told that story.
That's always cool to hear, because you never know.
Yeah.
Adrian Kronauer was 79.
The top five at five.